Dilemma. The mountain base, once a unified sanctuary, had fractured into two distinct worlds. Above, in the sunlit valley, there was the fragile, intoxicating hum of new life. Below, in the damp subterranean dark, there was only locked doors and silence. Carson stood in the shadows of the motor pool, leaning against the cold concrete wall. Across from him, Cale and Big Jim stood with their rifles slung low, their faces tight with unease. It had been 2 days since Nicole's explosive outburst in the valley, and the tension in the settlement was a physical weight pressing against the back of everyone's neck. "She hasn't come up, Carson," Cale reported, keeping his voice to a low murmur. He glanced nervously toward the freight elevator that led down to the mine shafts. "I pulled the manifest logs. She comes up to the quartermaster for MREs and bottled water, signs it out, and goes right back down. She's sleeping down there. She's locked the skunk farm from the inside." Big Jim shifted his massive weight, his brow furrowed. "Paul said she cut the hard lines to the security cameras in the sublevels, too. We have no eyes on her. No idea what she's doing." Carson absorbed the information, his face a mask of grave concern. Internally, a cold, calculating thrill rushed through him. Nicole was doing his work for him, isolating herself, painting herself as a paranoid recluse.
"This is exactly what I was afraid of," Carson said, his voice smooth and urgent. "We need to find out what she's doing in there. A commander doesn't hide from her people, gentlemen. A commander doesn't hoard secrets in the dark while the people she's supposed to be protecting are left twisting in the wind."
"Maybe she found something on that run with Jacob," Cale suggested. "Something contagious."
"If it was a biohazard, standard protocol dictates she inform the second in command and the medical staff," Carson countered smoothly. "She hasn't said a word to Sam." "No, this isn't a quarantine. This is isolationism. This is control."
Carson stepped closer to the two men, lowering his voice to a conspiratorial whisper, looking them dead in the eye.
"Look, the world ended," Carson said, his tone dripping with earnest patriotism. "The government fell. The grid collapsed. But that doesn't mean we forgot what it means to be Americans. It doesn't mean we forgot what it means to live free. We didn't survive the apocalypse. We didn't bleed to secure that valley down there just to trade the monsters outside the walls for a dictator inside them."
Big Jim blinked, the word dictator hanging heavily in the air.
"You really think she's a threat to us?"
"I think an autocrat with unchecked power, locked in a bunker keeping secrets from the men who hold the rifles, is the biggest threat we face right now," Carson said grimly. "More dangerous than the dead. The dead are predictable. Nicole isn't. Sam gave you freedom. She wants to take it away. Keep your eyes open. If she makes a move, we need to be ready to protect what we've built."
3 levels up in the command center, Sam was drowning in his own mind. He stood alone over the large topographical map of Sector 2, his hands braced against the edge of the table. Scattered across the map were dozens of blue pushpins, representing the families who had successfully relocated into the valley houses. It was a visual representation of his greatest achievement. He had done the impossible. He had pushed back the tide. But instead of pride, he felt the sickening, twisting knot of guilt and resentment.
"That blood is going to be on your hands, not mine."
Her words still echoed in his ears. Sam squeezed his eyes shut, exhaling a shaky breath. He was profoundly torn. His loyalty to Nicole was the foundation of his survival. She had saved him when the world went to hell. She had taught him how to fight, how to lead, how to survive. He owed her his life. But he also owed these people a future. The dilemma was agonizing. Did he honor Nicole's furious command? Did he sound the retreat, order the clear teams to abandon the barricades, and force hundreds of people to pack up their newfound hope and march back into the gloomy, suffocating caverns of the mountain? It would break their spirits. It would cause a mutiny. Or did he hold his ground? Did he fight Nicole for acceptance, defending his victory, and pray that eventually she would look out over the valley
and understand that he had done the right thing. He couldn't carry the weight of the decision alone anymore. He pushed himself away from the map table and reached for his radio. It was time to call the family together. The conference room felt too large for the 8 people sitting around the heavy oak table. Sam stood at the head. To his right sat Ruby in her wheelchair, her hands folded quietly in her lap, her sharp eyes missing nothing. Next to her was Paul, looking exhausted and jittery, his fingers tapping a relentless rhythm against his own coffee mug. Billy and Jordan sat together. Beverly and Tommy sat across from them. Tommy was coloring on the back of an old inventory sheet, while Beverly looked anxiously between Sam and Jacob. Jacob sat at the far end of the table, as far from Sam as he could get. His arms were crossed over his massive chest, his jaw set like granite. His eyes focused entirely on the grain of the wood in front of him. "Thank you for coming," Sam started, his voice a little hoarse. He cleared his throat. "I'll keep this brief. We have a situation. Nicole is... she's not accepting the expansion into Sector 2. She believes the wooden barricades are insufficient and that everyone needs to recall to the mountain immediately." An immediate murmur rippled through the room. "Recall?" Paul scoffed, leaning forward. "Sam, we spent 2 weeks clearing those streets. We hauled 100 tons of scrap metal to build that wall. We haven't had a single breach."
"It's not just about the wall, man," Walt added. "People have actual beds, Sam. We have sunlight, you know. You can't ask them to go back to sleeping on cots in a cave, can you?"
"I know," Sam said, holding up a hand to calm them. "I know what it means. But Nicole is the commander. If she gives a direct order to abandon the valley, we have a chain of command crisis." "Where is she, anyway?" Paul asked, his voice tinged with frustration. "I haven't seen her in 2 days. She's completely locked me out of the sublevel network. I can't even get a camera feed down there. What is she doing in the skunk farm, Jacob? You were on the run with her. What did you two find?"
The room went quiet. Everyone looked down the table at the giant. Jacob didn't flinch. He didn't look up. He felt the crushing weight of the promise he had made to Nicole in the dark. The promise to keep Krenner a secret. It felt like swallowing glass, lying to Beverly, lying to Sam.
"I don't know what she's doing," Jacob said, his voice a low, gravelly rumble. "We lost the trail, we came back. She went downstairs. That's all I know."
Sam looked at Jacob closely, sensing the evasion, but he didn't press it. He couldn't afford another fight.
"Mom," Tommy piped up suddenly, not looking up from his drawing. "I don't want to go back to the dark room. I like my window. I can see the birds."
Beverly wrapped an arm around her son's shoulders, looking pleadingly at Sam.
"Sam, please, Tommy's right. The people. We're finally starting to heal. Taking that away from them right now, it'll destroy morale. It'll break them."
Sam ran a hand through his hair, pacing the length of the room.
"I don't want to take it away, Bev, but I don't want to tear this base apart in a civil war between me and Nicole. So what do we do?"
"We let the people decide," Paul said quietly. Sam stopped pacing.
"What?"
"Let them decide," Paul repeated, pushing his glasses up his nose. "This isn't a military outfit anymore, Sam. We're a town now. You made us a town. In a town, the people have a voice. If Nicole wants everyone back in the mountain, let her make her case to them. You make your case for the valley. We hold a town hall. We put it to a vote. Let the people decide their own fate."
Walt nodded enthusiastically. "That's fair. That's the American way, man. That's the island way. We vote."
"If they vote to stay, she has to accept it," Beverly added. "It's not mutiny if the entire population chooses it."
Sam felt a surge of relief. It was a way out. It was a way to legitimize his victory without having to directly usurp her command. "A town hall. We gather everyone in the auditorium tomorrow at noon. We lay it out, open and honest."
"Sam?"
The single word cut through the rising optimism in the room. It was Ruby. She wheeled her chair back slightly, her weathered face lined with sorrow and profound wisdom. She looked at Sam, not as a commander, but as a boy she had helped raise.
You can dress it up in democracy all you want, Samuel,
Ruby said softly, her voice carrying a heavy weight.
But you need to be honest with yourself about what you're doing.
I am being honest, Sam said defensively. I'm giving them a choice.
No, Ruby corrected. You're putting Nicole on trial. You are asking these people to choose between the woman who forced them to hide in a dark hole to keep them alive and the man who gave them sunshine and houses.
She shook her head sadly.
This isn't a vote about geography, Sam. This is a vote for leadership. You are asking them to choose who they want to follow.
The silence in the room was deafening. Sam felt his face flush.
That's not true, Ruby. I don't want her job. I don't want to replace her.
Then don't hold the vote,
Ruby countered gently. Sam stared at her, his jaw clenching. He thought of the wooden barricades. He thought of the laughter in the streets. He thought of the red light flashing denied on the skunk farm keypad.
I'm fine with whatever the people want, Sam said finally, his voice hardening, addressing the room but looking only at Ruby.
If they want to come back inside, I'll carry the bags myself, but they deserve the right to say it, and I hope
Nicole will see it that way too. Once the people speak, we can get back to normal. We can all just get on with our lives.
Ruby looked away, staring out the reinforced window at the command center below.
There is no normal anymore, Sam. But God help us. We'll try your vote.
An hour later, Sam found Carson lounging in the armory, polishing the receiver of an M4 rifle.
Carson, Sam said, stepping into the room, I need you to mobilize the communication network. Word of mouth, flyers, PA announcements, whatever it takes.
Carson paused his polishing, looking up with mild interest.
What's the message, boss?
Tomorrow at noon in the auditorium, Sam instructed. Mandatory town hall meeting for all residents. We are going to put the housing situation to a public vote.
Carson's eyes lit up. A slow, predatory smile spread across his face, though he quickly masked it with a look of professional approval.
A vote. Smart, Sam. Very smart. Let the people speak. I'll get the word out right away.
Just the facts, Carson, Sam warned, reading the glint in the man's eye. Don't spin it.
Of course, Carson nodded innocently. Just the facts.
As soon as Sam left the armory, Carson slung the rifle over his shoulder and headed down to the residential sector. He moved through the streets like a politician, shaking hands, leaning over picket fences, talking to the exhausted, hopeful survivors. He didn't just give them the time and place. He planted the narrative.
Town hall tomorrow, folks, Carson would say,
leaning in close with a sympathetic smile.
Sam wants to hear from you. He wants to know if you like your new homes, because Nicole? Well, Nicole wants you to pack it all up. She wants you back in the caves. Sam's fighting for your right to stay here, to live free, but he needs your help to prove it to her. Tomorrow, you get to choose your future. You get to choose who really cares about you.
By nightfall, the entire valley wasn't just preparing for a town hall. They were preparing for an election. The descent into the lower levels always felt like stepping into a tomb. But tonight, Sam felt it in his bones. He rode the freight elevator down to the containment wing alone. The yellow emergency lights flickered overhead, casting a sickly pallor over the concrete walls. He walked down the long corridor toward the skunk farm. The heavy steel door was still sealed tight. The red light on the keypad mocked him. Sam took a deep breath, steeling his nerves, and knocked heavily on the steel door.
Nicole, it's Sam.
No answer, only the hum of the ventilation system.
Nicole, I know you're in there. I'm not leaving until you talk to me.
A minute stretched into two. Sam was about to pound on the door again when a heavy metallic clunk echoed from the other side. The deadbolts retracted. The heavy steel door swung inward, opening just enough for Nicole to stand in the gap. Sam's breath caught in his throat. She looked awful. The dark circles under her eyes were bruised and heavy, her skin pale and translucent in the harsh light. She had changed into a clean t-shirt, but she looked as though she hadn't slept in a week. Her eyes were blank, completely devoid of the fiery rage she had shown in the valley. She looked stoic, hollowed out, carrying a weight Sam couldn't even begin to comprehend. Beyond her shoulder, the room was pitch black. She had left the lights off in the containment room. "What is it, Sam?" Nicole asked. Her voice was flat, devoid of emotion. I came to tell you about tomorrow," Sam started, suddenly feeling very young and foolish standing in front of her. The speech she had rehearsed upstairs evaporated. "We had a meeting with the core group. Ruby, Paul, the others." Nicole didn't react. She just stared at him, waiting. I decided, Sam corrected himself, "that we have a stalemate. You want the valley abandoned. The people don't want to leave. So we're holding the town hall tomorrow at noon in the auditorium." "A town hall?" Nicole repeated, the words sounding foreign on her tongue. "A vote," Sam clarified, shifting his weight uncomfortably under her dead-eyed stare. "We're going to let the people decide. If they want to come back inside, I'll order the clear teams to dismantle the barricades. If they vote to stay, then we stay, and we focus on fortifying the wooden walls." He waited for the explosion. He expected her to scream at him, to call it mutiny, to threaten him with court-martial. Instead, Nicole just let out a slow, shallow breath. She leaned her shoulder against the heavy steel doorframe, looking at him as if he were explaining the rules of a board game while the house was burning down around them. "You're asking them to vote on whether or not they want to die, Sam," Nicole said quietly. "I'm asking them to vote on how they want to live," Sam countered, his voice rising with a defensive edge. "I want you there, Nicole. I want you to make your case to them. Tell them why you think the mountain is better, and that I want you to listen to them. I want us to figure this out together." Nicole looked down at her hands. They were trembling slightly. She shoved them into her pockets. She thought of Krenner sitting in the dark just a few yards behind her, playing with the virus that had killed billions. She thought of Abner Friedman clicking his dead teeth against the bars. She couldn't tell Sam the truth. If she told him why they needed the steel doors, because the monster who made the virus was living in the basement, needing fresh test subjects, Sam would kill Krenner and the cure would die with him. She was trapped in a cage of her own making, and Sam was outside of it, playing politics. "You don't understand what you're dealing with," Nicole whispered almost to herself. "Then explain it to me," Sam pleaded, stepping closer, reaching out to touch the doorframe. "Talk to me, Nicole. Why are you down here? Why did you lock me out? Let me help you." Nicole looked up at him, her eyes flashing with a sudden, tragic sorrow. For a brief second, the stoic mask slipped, and Sam saw the terrified, exhausted woman underneath. "You can't help me, Sam," she said softly. She began to push the heavy steel door closed. "Nicole, wait," Sam said, putting his hand on the metal to stop it. "Are you coming tomorrow? Will you accept the vote?" Nicole looked at his hand on the door, then up to his face. She gave him no promises. She gave him no absolution. "Do what you have to do, Sam," she said. She pushed the door with surprising strength, forcing Sam to step back. The heavy steel slab slammed shut with a deafening boom. A second later, the electronic deadbolts engaged with a sharp clunk, and the keypad light turned a solid, angry red. Sam stood alone in the flickering light of the subterranean corridor, staring at the closed door. The silence settled around him, heavy and absolute. He had his town hall. He had his democracy. But as he turned and walked back toward the elevator, he realized with a sinking heart that he had completely lost her.
Human. Extinction level. Loss.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Deadland. The outbreak is spreading and we want to hear from you. Leave a voicemail letting us know your weapon of choice, your ultimate survival strategy, or just hit us with your most terrifying zombie impression. We might play it on a future episode. Speak your brains out after the beep.